speaker is Andrei Mikhailov from Caltech. And we just saw the title, which is Poisson Brackets and ADS CFT.
I changed the title. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Okay. So I will talk about some geometrical aspects of non-standard Poisson brackets which appear on the string wall sheet in ADS. Poisson brackets are very important, as we heard also from the previous talk, because they are the classical analog of the quantum mechanical commutators. One of the miracles of integrability is that the integrable systems usually have infinitely many Poisson brackets, which satisfy certain compatibility conditions. In fact, there are actually enough to have two compatible Poisson brackets, and then there is a procedure to generate the higher brackets. In my talk, I will discuss the so-called Hamiltonian structure for the classical string on the sphere, or in other words, nonlinear sigma model. So I wrote a short paper about this subject, and after that last year, then I learned that there was substantial earlier work. So in my talk, I will combine the ideas also. I will use some ideas from these papers. And of course, I should mention the old classical papers also. So my approach is a little bit different from these things, but I use combination of my paper and these papers. I will first review the general definition of the symplectic structure and then describe the canonical Poisson brackets of the nonlinear sigma model, which is string on a sphere. I then discuss some hidden relativistic symmetry of this nonlinear sigma model equations and argue that this relativistic symmetries can be used to generate non-standard symplectic structures. And for this purpose, I will need also the concept of generalized Sein-Gordon model. So I'll explain what is generalized Sein-Gordon model. And then I will explain what is the geometrical meaning of this non-standard symplectic structures from the point of view of string wall sheet. So let's start from the basics. Suppose we have a two-dimensional field theory with the Lagrangian density L. And suppose that we study the dependence of the action on the classical solution on the solution. So we take a classical solution and we compute the classical action. Let us compute it over some finite region on the wall sheet. Then how will the integral, the S, depend on the choice of the classical solution? Suppose that we change the classical solution by the small amount, then, because the classical solution extremizes the action, we should have delta S being non-zero only due to boundary effect. So there is some one form A, which we have to integrate over the boundary of the region. This formula defines A. Since A is linear in the variation of the field, we can also say that A is a one form on the phase space. So this is the form of the type d tau delta phi, so to speak, because it contains one d tau and one delta phi, this is this A. So if you take a variation with the phase space, variation with respect to the field, then we'll get some form of the time d tau delta phi square. And it turns out that for most of field theories, this omega is defined unambiguously. And so what we do next is consider the theory on the wall sheet topologically non-trivial with the topology of the cylinder and integrate over the closed contour this form omega. And you can see then that this integral will not depend on the choice of the contour. So this capital omega is called the symplectic form. So part of the reason why I am explaining this well-known stuff is that I want to stress that there is a useful concept of symplectic potential, which is a one form on the phase space. This is a one form on the phase space, which is defined so that delta of it equals to, so it's PDQ basically. This one form is dependent now on the choice of the contour, but its differential is independent. So it's useful sometimes. It's closely related to the concept of generating function in classical mechanics. So it's useful to use this, this symplectic potential, but bear in mind that it is dependent on the contour. Let me turn to the definition of our models. The principal chiral model, all these models describe embedding of Wolfschmidt in the target space, and the target space is basically the group manifold with some identification. So the action has this form. G is a function of tau plus and tau minus. So we form left and right currents, d plus and d minus. And then we take some potential depending on these currents. For example, the trace of their product for the principal chiral model, or for the NLSM, this is my abbreviation for nonlinear sigma model. It's kind of more complicated a little bit because we should take now, we assume that the Lie algebra of our group is decomposed. It has Z2 grading. So there is G0, a subalgebra, and G1, which is its complement as a linear space. And then we take the trace of the product of G1 parts. So our only example is, the only example which I will use is Sn, which is Son plus, so in this case, G is Son plus 1 and G0 is Son. So this n plus 1 by n plus 1 matrices, and G0 corresponds to matrices where non-zero components are only here. And G1 is its orthogonal complement. G1 is, of course, not a subalgebra, but a linear space. So, of course, we introduce the notation for this current, minus d plus minus g, g minus 1, j plus minus. And then, so our action is integral of some potential of these currents. In the nonlinear sigma model, of course, we can decompose j according to the degree in the Lie algebra. So it's g0 and g1. And it's useful also to consider infinitesimal left shift of g and point out that this infinitesimal left shift corresponds to the variation. So if Xi is a Lie algebra valued field function on the Wolfschmidt, then we can define like this the variation of the group element, and then the variation of the current will be given by the covariant derivative of Xi. The covariant derivative is defined by this formula. I won't have time to explain it, but in string theory, for some deep reason, we need an LSM with the additional constraint, which is called Virasoro constraint. Well, for the principal chiral model, the symplectic potential, this form alpha, on the field delta xi, on the field delta xi, which is defined by this formula. So this is field on the phi space. We evaluate alpha on it, we get something like this. This depends on the choice of the contour, but if we calculate delta alpha, then we get the symplectic form. It's not very illuminating as it stands, but this is the answer for symplectic form on the principal chiral model. And I want to stress that in computing delta, it's useful, this formula is very useful. You compute the delta of the one form, you first substitute the second vector, and then differentiate with respect to the first, and then subtract this and subtract alpha of the commutator. This is a famous formula for the exterior derivative of the differential form. But for us, more important will be nonlinear sigma model. So for nonlinear sigma model, the symplectic potential is given by this expression. So again, delta xi is defined through its action on j. It is this. Xi1 is the component of xi in G1, and we have to evaluate this. This is symplectic potential, and then we take derivative and get this value of the symplectic form. So, of course, there is an important comment that when xi belongs to G0, then delta xi is a gauge symmetry. And we see it because omega does not depend on xi0, depends only on xi1, so which means that xi0 is in the kernel of the symplectic form, which means that we should consider it a gauge symmetry. And of course, this gauge symmetry has a natural geometrical meaning. And LSM, actually, even though we described it in terms of G and J, it actually just has transparent geometrical meaning. It describes minimal embeddings of the Wolfschmidt into the sphere. So we fixed some fixed point on a sphere, which is given by a unit vector x0. And then another point of a sphere can be described by the element G minus 1, which brings G0 into X. So this is this G. And then we have to divide by, if you multiply G on the left by G naught, which G naught belongs to SON, G naught stabilizes the point X naught, so we have the same point X. So this is a gauge transformation. And of course, that of course, then the symplectic form, which I already written the symplectic form, it has just it follows from the action, from the standard action on the sphere. And but notice important thing that when we write shift G by the constant element of SON plus 1, this corresponds to the global rotations of the sphere. SON plus 1, the symmetry of the sphere. Notice that these global rotations do not change J. And this brings us to the subject of generalized Stein-Gordon model. The generalized Stein-Gordon model is obtained by forgetting about G and describing the equations of motion in terms of J only. So we write the equations of motion in terms of for principal chiral field in terms of these J's. And so we get this, everything can be written in terms of J's with this gauge symmetry and this Virasoro constraint. And this system is called generalized Stein-Gordon. It's a system of differential equations. So important, in some sense, the generalized Stein-Gordon is equivalent to the nonlinear sigma model because after all we have to get to the NLSM is to add G satisfying this equation. But this G is almost defined in terms of J. The only small thing is right shifts, which are precisely correspond to global rotations of SN. But important thing to understand is that in terms of J only, the symplectic structure of the principal chiral model is non-local because psi is related to delta J through this formula, and we have to invert the action of the covariant derivative, which involves integration. So the symplectic structure is non-local. But if we add G, then we get local formula for the symplectic structure. So NLSM, of course, has local symplectic structure, but generalized Stein-Gordon does not. We have to add G. We have to lift it a little bit, add finitely many degrees of freedom to it. To obtain, it turns out actually Stein-Gordon, just generalized Stein-Gordon for n equals 2 and 3 does have local symplectic structure, but only for n equals 2 and 3. For high n, it doesn't have local symplectic structures at all, and to obtain some symplectic structure on this Stein-Gordon, we have to lift it to something, add finitely many degrees of freedom. This is not, adding G is not the only way of lifting it. We can actually lift by adding psi, for example, satisfying. This is Lie algebra valued field. Psi satisfying this equation and get this symplectic. So psi is almost defined again in terms of J except for some integration constants. And we get this symplectic structure, which is local now after we added psi. This corresponds to this action, which is just adding Lagrange multiplier for zero curvature conditions for J. And this action gives essentially the same symplectic structure as the principal chiral model. It can be considered T-dual of the classical string in a sense, non-abelian T-dual. And these things give essentially the same symplectic structure. There are other lifts also of JSG to models having a local symplectic structure, but which give essentially different symplectic structure. And we'll come to that. But so to summarize, we have this classical string which has local symplectic structure, and then in some way we go back to Stein-Gordon by forgetting G, and because we forgot some degrees of freedom, we get something non-local. Or we can proceed from T-dual of the classical string. So what's the main reason why I need this generalized Stein-Gordon is that it has a very nice relativistic symmetry. Let me just remind you these equations, which I already written recently, written on the previous transparency. So with this gauge symmetry and this Virasoro constraint, and there is an obvious symmetry after constant shifts of tau plus and tau minus, but besides that, there is an interesting symmetry with respect to boosts. And this symmetry is kind of a little bit unusual. It's just relativistic boost of tau plus and tau minus. But a little strange thing is that J should be have scaling dimension 1 because it kind of scales like derivative. And this is true about J0. But G1, we remove, we don't write factor lambda plus minus 1 in terms of G1 because otherwise we would not preserve these constraints. But it turns out that with this sort of twisted boost, the equations of motion are still satisfied as well as gauge symmetry. We will use this relativistic symmetry to show that the classical string has interesting non-local symplectic structure. In terms of classical string itself, this boost symmetry was very complicated, so we had to pass to Sine-Gordon. Well, first of all, let's even better understand the standard symplectic form in terms of current J to understand how the relativistic symmetry acts on this symplectic structure. But before, we start by considering the usual Sine-Gordon, which corresponds to string on S2. So G equals SO3, G0 equals SO2. String mapped into two-dimensional sphere. N is a unit vector in the sphere. This describes embedding of string into S2. There are sort of constraints, equations of motion, which I didn't write. Actually, in this dimension, they follow from constraints. But in any case, it's sort of possible to, by manipulating with equations of motion, it's possible to prove that the angle between d plus n and d minus n satisfies the Sine-Gordon equations. So there is a function phi. Please remember that phi is the angle between d plus n and d minus n, between characteristic directions. So it satisfies the Sine-Gordon equations. And Sine-Gordon equations actually, in this dimension, it has local action. So there is a local symplectic structure. But this action does not correspond to the action of the classical string. Therefore, the Poisson bracket of the classical string is different in terms of phi from the Poisson bracket of the Sine-Gordon theory. In fact, the Sine-Gordon theory has an infinite family of symplectic structures because of these B-Hamiltonian things. So there's infinitely many symplectic structures, and the string symplectic structure descends through my diagram to one of them. So I will now explain which one. So I will give, so omega string is a symplectic structure which comes from the string, and I will give first a pedestrian derivation of omega string and then more scientific derivation. So first of all, the canonical symplectic structure of the string is given by this integral. Oh, sorry, there should be d tau minus here. Here it should be d tau minus. It doesn't depend on the choice of the contour. And it is enough to concentrate on this first term. Because, roughly speaking, because there are compact solutions, for example, which are rapidly decreasing at infinity, and compact solutions are parameterized uniquely by their restriction to the positive characteristic. There are a number of subtleties here, but I don't want to discuss them because I think they're not essential. What I want to postulate is that I just describe my phase space by restricting to the positive component of the light cone, and the symplectic structure depends on the restriction of n on of tau plus. So the phase space is a function of the space of vector functions on C plus, and the symplectic structure is this. So symplectic potential, if we varize this delta, obviously this can be chosen like this. Now we'll consider the O3 invariant vector field on the phase space, which is defined by the functions f plus and f minus in this way, denoted delta f plus f minus. So it's defined so it's scalar product with d plus the variation with d plus n and d minus n. In terms of this field, the alpha is very simple. We substitute here, we get just integral f plus. Now I want to compute its delta. Again, I use this simple formula. And but it's not very simple because I have to compute the commutator of delta f plus and delta f minus. However, it turns out that using equations of motion of classical string, I can write equations for f plus and f minus, which express f minus in terms of f plus and d plus f plus. So f minus is expressed on characteristic in terms of f plus. So this allows to compute the action in terms of f plus only. And so we substitute f minus here and rewrite everything in terms of f plus, and then it's a matter of small computation to show that q plus, please remember, q plus is defined as derivative of the Sine-Gordon field. Q plus under f transforms like this. After that, it is straightforward calculation to compute the commutator of two transformations and to get this result, and then substitute it into our pre-symplectic symplectic potential and get this formula for omega. Here, theta naught and theta 1 are some interesting integral differential operators. theta naught is just an operation of differentiation, very interesting. And theta 1 is some third order operator with one integral. So it turns out that both of them define Poisson brackets. Let me remind general stuff. Given some operator, integral differential theta, we can try to define the Poisson bracket given by this formula. But we have to satisfy the Jacobi identity, which leads to certain bilinear condition on theta, which is known as Holton bracket. So this is the Jacobi equation is equivalent to annihilation to certain bilinear operator of theta being zero. This is equivalent to omega being closed. For example, for theta naught, we have the canonical symplectic structure of the Sine-Gordon model. And therefore, it's obvious that theta naught equals zero, canonical symplectic structure. But also, because we got this operator from the symplectic from the canonical symplectic structure of the string, we don't have to prove this because this is obvious, because we got by our construction, we got it from symplectic structure of the string. On the other hand, let us now consider the action of the boost, our relativistic symmetry of the Sine-Gordon. This thing is inhomogeneous. This thing scales as lambda cube. This is lambda, and this is lambda minus 1. And on the other hand, this Coulomb bracket is kind of homogeneous operation, so we have separately satisfied theta 1 equals 0, theta 1, theta 0 equals 0, and we know already theta 0 equals 0, so we have a one-parameter pencil of the Poisson bracket satisfying the Jacobi identity for arbitrary t, and this is known as bi-Hamiltonian structure. So again, in terms of this theta naught, theta 1, the Poisson structure of the classical string becomes like this. And this bi-Hamiltonian structure is known as MKDV. It has the name, modified Kartoviak decrease. So, theta naught, theta 1. This is MKDV, and theta string in terms of MKDV is this. Now I will give, in order to generalize to SN, I will give a more scientific derivation a little bit of this formula. So again, I use my symplectic potential. I use my symplectic potential. My delta xi is defined by this formula. But I want to choose the gauge where J1 plus equals constant. In this gauge, it's very nice because we don't have to evaluate delta J1 1 plus when we compute delta alpha using this formula. Using this formula, I don't have in these terms to evaluate delta 1 plus because 1 plus is constant. So I fix the gauge like this. It's always possible to fix the gauge so J1 plus is equal to this matrix. And now, because of the equations of motion, it constrains J plus and J minus to have this form. And then, suppose that I have two variations, delta xi1 and delta xi2, so that covariant derivative of xi equals to delta q. And then, if I substitute to this formula, xi1 and xi2, it is easy to see that the symplectic structure is just alpha 1 times beta 2 minus alpha 2 times beta 1. So the calculation of symplectic structure given this formula is reduced to solving this equation. And this is very simple exercise and gives, so I rewrite alpha, beta, and gamma in terms of this delta Q by solving this equation, right? I rewrite and this immediately gives me the same equation as I got before, but now I can generalize it to higher n. So again, I choose J plus being constant. And in fact, if I have to choose J1 plus being constant matrix, I still have residual gauge symmetry, which allows me to bring J plus to the form when the upper right, down right corner is lower right corner is only zeros. This is in differential geometry called normal frame. It was introduced by Bishop, apparently. So again, we have to compute D plus minus 1 of delta J plus to compute the symplectic form. And this is very simple, straightforward calculation. And omitting some details, I'll get again the same thing in terms of theta naught and theta 1. And so theta naught, what is theta naught? I will explain in a moment in this formula. theta 1 is related to theta naught by some differential, integral differential operator, where Q is the operator of taking scalar product with Q, and this is operator of multiplication by Q. So everything is described in terms of theta naught. And now the same scaling argument as for S2 shows that theta 1 is a Poisson bracket, that is compatible with theta naught. But the only thing that we don't see is that theta naught equals zero, because theta naught is here kind of hidden between these two, and when we compute theta string, then we get additional terms. So we have to prove this. And to prove this, I have to explain you what is theta naught. And I'll do it in a geometrical way. So this is theta naught is what we need, what I want to obtain. It's a boost invariant symplectic structure of generalized Sine-Gordon. But we describe it in terms of the symplectic structure of the WZW model, which is somewhat auxiliary. Remember the chiral phase space of the WZW is this space of group valued functions J. And the symplectic structure is dg, g minus 1. This one considers closed form, modulo total derivative. So I will explain what is theta naught now by saying that the symplectic form theta naught minus 1 is the restriction of this symplectic, chiral symplectic form of WZW on a space of matrices G of tau plus, satisfying this additional this constraint. This defines theta naught. I will not need to write explicit formula because that's what only thing that I need. So it's the standard computation showing that WZW indeed has closed symplectic form. So, but the slight disadvantage of theta naught in this description is that it seems to be tied to characteristic line, the positive characteristic on a string wall sheet. We described everything in terms of positive characteristic. And in fact, the mathematicians and mathematical physicists who were working on similar problems, approach was, they discussed the integrable dynamics of the contours, which has a profile of the vector function on tau plus, on C plus. So they described the integrable dynamics of characteristics. If you discrete just on one characteristic, it's hard to see that symplectic form is independent on the choice of the contour, and it's hard to see its geometrical meaning on the string theory side. Because just one characteristic does not yet give you a string, even though you can reproduce a string from one characteristic, but it requires additional work. So I will now explain how to rewrite this theta naught, which I described somewhat implicitly, in terms of the geometrical structures on the string wall sheet. Let us remember that through every point on the wall sheet go two characteristic or light-like. So if we take our string, there are two light-like lines through each point on the wall sheet. So this is a light cone. Now let us project this picture to Sn. Then these things become, of course, space-like curves. They are just they're so-called characteristics of nonlinear sigma model, tau minus equals zero and tau plus equals zero. Now I want to introduce the notation. I introduce the directions in the target, in the tangent space to the wall sheet, which are, k plus is the direction in the tangent space which is orthogonal to C plus. And k minus is the direction orthogonal to C minus. And so I want you to remember this notation. So I take orthogonal directions on the wall sheet. And then I also remember that there is a thing called normal bundle to the string wall sheet. So this consists of all the vectors which are orthogonal to the wall sheet. So this normal bundle I will denote it by green color, and this is a part of S5, if you wish. So, for example, for string embedded in S5, wall sheet is two-dimensional, this is three-dimensional. Now I want to define two more bundles. I define the sum of N and K plus. This is some bundle over vector bundle, four-dimensional in the S5 case. This is four-dimensional over the string wall sheet, four-dimensional vector bundle. And similarly, four-dimensional vector bundle n plus k minus. So let's summarize the picture. I have a string wall sheet, two characteristics, directions k plus and k minus inside the wall sheet, which are orthogonal to these characteristics. I have a normal bundle, and these two wings, the left wing and the right wing, it's kind of butterfly-like thing. So it represents n plus k plus and n plus k minus. Now, the reason why I want to consider these bundles is the following. Let us remember that the spheres, of course, Riemannian manifolds, there is a Levi-Civita connection. So let us restrict the tangent space to the sphere down to sigma. So I is embedding of our string bullshit into the sphere. Let us restrict the tangent space to the sphere to the string bullshit. This is formal notation for the restricted bundle. Then, because in the sphere there is a Levi-Civita connection, then of course this just means that we can translate the vectors tangent to the sphere along arbitrary path on the string bullshit, the parallel transport. And we call this corresponding covariant derivative d naught bar. This covariant derivative in this bundle. Now remember one more construction. Suppose that we have two vector bundles, an arbitrary manifold, V and W. V is sub-bundle of W. Suppose that W has a covariant derivative or connection, nabla W. Then we can restrict or project this connection on V. So to differentiate the vector in V with respect to the restricted connection, we consider infinitesimal parallel transport with the connection in W, transported in W, and then project back to V. It's infinitesimal operation. Parallel transport and projection back. So given the connection in W, there is canonically defined connection in V, which we will denote by this symbol, nabla W restricted on V. Now, if we restrict the Levi-Civita connection on our left wing and right wing bundles and denote the resulting connections nabla left and nabla right, then it turns out that they are flat. Both nabla left and nabla right are flat. This follows from the string equations of motion. It's a small exercise to prove that these connections are flat connections. So now we are very close to construction of the symplectic form. So for that, we trivialize the normal bundle to the sigma. So what does it mean to trivialize? Means that we introduce, case of S5. Case of S5, this N is three-dimensional, so we introduce three orthonormal vectors in it. And once we introduce three orthonormal vectors, this gives us also trivialization of the left wing and right wing. Because to trivialize the left wing, we have to add K minus, which is direction along the tentacle. And trivialize the right, the left wing, we need to add direction K plus. So we'll give four vectors in n plus k minus and four vectors in n plus k plus. So trivialization of the normal bundle gives a trivialization of these two bundles. And after we get trivialization, we can define the monodromy matrices. This is just matrices GL and G right satisfying these equations. So because this is flat connection, we can compute the monodromy matrix. To make it a matrix, JL is just a parallel transport operation. But to make operation a matrix, we need trivialization. So that's why I explained that we need to introduce trivialization of the normal bundle. Okay, so after that, the symplectic structure of generalized Sankt-Gordon is given by this formula, which is independent of the choice of contour. And the fact that it's independent of the choice of contour is relatively easy to prove because just in coordinate calculation, for example. So this phi is the angle between wings. It's a Sankt-Gordon field. Its geometrical meaning is the angle between the wings. So it changes when you move around the bullshit according to actual generalized Sankt-Gordon equation. So this phi is the angle between this k plus and k minus. So it's also possible to prove that it is equivalent to the earlier definition in terms of generalized, in terms of WZW. This, by the way, follows... This description follows from the work of Bacchus, Park, and Sheen, who constructed the action for generalized Sankt-Gordon as gauge WZW model. So this follows from their paper immediately. But now we have that this is equal to this, which is geometrical structure on the worksheet. And the equivalence is shown by the following trick. It is possible by thinking a little bit about it to show that the monodromy matrix in the normal frame is related to our introduced GL and GRight by this formula. And then we take this, substitute G as a product of three matrices, and then we use a Polyakov-Wigman type of tricks to show that this substitute and use Polyakov-Wigman tricks to show that this is equal to this, right? Of course, in these tricks, it's important that dg g minus 1 has this form. This is very important. Otherwise, of course, it's not true that WCW action of the product of three elements is the sum of three actions. So we need this constraint very much. So so in our approach, we constructed both canonical symplectic form of the string and the non-standard symplectic form. They are both constructed in terms of geometry of string worksheet, and in fact, we use generalized Sine-Gordon only to prove the compatibility of this. Notice also that the non-standard symplectic form is not, strictly speaking, local on the worksheet. It's local only if we add additional field, GL and GRight. Integrability, therefore, because this Hamiltonian sink is tied to integrability, it compels us to try to find some string theory meaning of this field GL and GRight, which I don't know. I don't know what, maybe in terms of pure spinners somehow they can be, I don't know. There should be these fields because they are non-local, this field. So we have to add them by hand and it should have some string theory meanings. So let me finish the talk by open questions. First of all, how to generalize the construction of the second Poisson structure to the full superstring? This should not be very hard, but there are actually many tricks here should be used. So the second question was partially answered by the previous speaker, but I think it requires much better understanding, of course, as he mentioned. This generalized Sine-Gordon is called vector MKDV also. So this theta naught is Poisson structure of vector MKDV. So the question is, this is Boost invariant, so it's supposed to be quantizable as relativistic field theory. And then the question is, if we quantize this relativistic invariant bracket, would it be possible to translate of the result of quantization of theta naught to the quantization of this horrible theta naught plus theta 1 times theta 1 minus 1 theta naught plus theta 1, which should describe the string, which is not relativistically invariant. Thank you for your attention.
So thanks very much for this very nice talk.
One way to test if you've really got the correct symplectic structure for the string is to work out the action variables for certain simple string solutions.
Yes.
Correspond, for example, to the breathers of the Sine-Gordon theory or the basic soliton of complex Sine-Gordon or indeed the finite gap solutions of the string and see if it coincides with the known correct answers. Now, have you done that for this symplectic structure?
No, but I think that it should be, in the language of your paper, it should be possible to describe this theta naught in the same terms of, as you described the canonical Poisson structure. So It should be possible in the same Maillet type of setup describe also this Poisson structure, but I don't know how to do it. Sorry.
Okay. Any further questions? I don't see any. So thanks again for the talk. So our next speaker is Romuald Janik.